You're listening to the Hidden Killers Podcast.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Jennifer Koffendaffer, retired FBI special agent, is with us as normal. And Jennifer, we are in this segment going to be discussing Rex Huerman, the alleged Long Island serial killer. We've continued to learn more and more about him as time rolls on. Classmates of his from childhood getting a fuller picture of Rex in his younger years. And I guess not surprising, he was a punching bag for a lot of bullies, as some of his friends had put it. Are you at all surprised that this is a person who had an upbringing where he was the butt of a lot of things, and then you see this dramatic swing in adulthood of trying to be in control of things to a super crazy, violent, dangerous extreme?
It makes a lot of sense. We're seeing that. We certainly have seen that with Brian Koberger, looking back at his past and what people are saying. Now we're seeing it in this situation. I think there have been so many individuals who exercise their only control they've maybe been able to find in their life in this horrible, reckless, and evil manner. But so many of them, Tony, right, were bullied.
Yeah.
And have you ever seen the movie Full Metal Jacket?
A long time ago, yes.
Every time I watch that movie, and I've only seen it twice, but the two times I saw it, I'm not making an excuse, but boy, talk about in that movie the evolution of just the nicest person, just bullied and bullied till they turned murderous, psychotic, unhinged, and just sought revenge. I know that's a fictional movie, but I just wonder if that is a microcosm of what happens in the brains of these people that they turn like this. I don't know.
Yeah, obviously, there's plenty of people who are bullied in childhood, and they grow up and they figure life out, and they end up using that to their advantage as a strength and something that they were able to push through. And others seek revenge, and it seems that this might have been one of those cases. What's your take on, I was very surprised by this, his wife and two adult children going back home to the same place that they just raided, they went through, they had the excavator going, and they decided, let's hunker back down here. That, to me, I was surprised by, that they went back to this house of horrors.
I just don't know what other choices they have. Monetarily, there's a lot of issues with tax liens and monetary issues going on. And I just wonder if maybe they have no other choice. They've been there for decades. 1994 is when he bought that home. They've lived their life there. It is spooky, but I don't think they have a choice.
Sure. That's what I was wondering. Is this just out of utter necessity that there's no other options of anywhere to go? One would have to almost guess there's probably not much of a circle of friends, if you will, or even maybe family that's there to take them in, because it feels like Rex likely had them quite isolated from the rest of the world during his reign of terror and his reign as the husband and father of that family.
No, you're absolutely right. They're truly victims, and their life is forever changed and in such a negative and horrible way. And I just hope that they have some family and some friends, some social network that helps them through this, because they're victims as well.
They are. His wife, talking to reporters outside of the house just yesterday, I was surprised, and I don't know what to make of it. I don't know how I would be reacting to this, because obviously there'd be an insane thing to try and process, but very much saying it is what it is. It's an ongoing investigation. I can't really talk to you guys. I got a lot of work to do around here. I was just struck by the it is what it is. Just this flippant, yep, he did it. I'm not surprised, right? She didn't say I'm not surprised, but very quick to accept this. It does make me wonder how much they're looking back and going, oh, all of this really adds up now.
Oh, I'm sure that's the hindsight in these cases that you get to see after somebody's arrested and all these red flags, right? Everybody comes forward and says, oh, yeah, he did do this or acted like this or was bullied like this. And it all puts together the picture. It's easy to do after you find out somebody is capable of this and has been charged with something like this. And I agree, her choice of words wasn't good. She's likely never been in front of the camera before. I think it was just a spontaneous utterance that, of course, has been blown up a bit with the nonchalant, it is what it is. as if she was talking about the loss in a hockey game or something.
Yeah.
So it was certainly not a good choice of words, but I give her a lot of grace at this point. Sure. Her life is upside down, and I think she just threw that out there. I think she must be just lost right now.
I think that's probably even putting it lightly for what that woman and those kids are probably going through at this point. Is this something where the system doesn't have safeguards in place for women who were his victims? We've heard from many women now who claim to have gone on a date with Rex Huerman and survived. And obviously there's many who likely did not survive at the hands of Rex Huerman. But what sort of system, if any, is in place for someone who is in that world, in the sex industry, to report someone like a Rex if they're getting those weird vibes and they suspect maybe this guy's a killer? Number one, you're doing a profession that is illegal, so there's probably a pause there to go and report anything that you've found out. But should there be something more in place, almost like we have with drug use, for example? If someone is tweaking out, if they're having a seizure or whatever, you can call the police in many states and you will not be charged. You can get the medical help for the person when they need it. Should there be something like that in place for the sex workers, if you will, where they, if there's some big red flag with somebody, a hand can be raised and something can be done? Because this seems like it's a ripe area for people like Rex to thrive in.
Yes, it certainly is. And that's why he chose the victims he chose, the people that aren't going to be noticed missing as much as, say, a housewife, people who are known to be out late at night, who are known to maybe be gone from their normal life for extended periods of time. Most of them, or at least several of them we know, were addicted. And so that's another aspect. But back to your question, I do believe that there isn't any sort of crime they would be charged with if they went in and did such a reporting. I just don't think that they want to report very often. I think they, for the most part, their lives are something that they're living either out of desperation or out of addiction. And for those reasons, they're not maybe really processing through everything quite right. And just think of the number of really odd and dangerous situations they probably find themselves in so often.
Yeah.
But certainly, I just love the idea of a hotline for some of these areas, for the local departments to just have a hotline for this sort of activity. But remember, again, who would have ever thought a well-educated architect that's been in the community, thriving, at least as professionally, without any hitches, who would have thought that this would be the person that would have been responsible or allegedly responsible for all these murders?
Yeah, hiding right in plain sight.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.